May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 834. While heavenly hosts their anthem sing in realms above the sky, let worms of earth their tribute bring, and Lord, the Lord Most High. Hymn 834.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto you, unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, do help us to draw near unto Thee, and in mercy draw near unto us. We have to confess our failings, and how we are often bound in our coming. Oh, deliver us from this legal chain. Do grant, Lord, that free access at Thy throne of grace, and hear us in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and when Thou hearest, forgive. Lord, we would come as true confessors at Thy footstool of mercy. Our sins are black and vile. We are full of filthiness within. And though our outside be kept clean, oh, that, Lord, we cannot boast of. But we have to mourn, so often it is, those secret sins, the sins of the heart. But Thou, O Lord, who knowest us altogether, art able to cast out from us that which may grieve Thee, and give us, Lord, that right spirit, that we may serve Thee in truth. And Lord, we pray that we may be given that desire to be as true followers of Thee, that we may walk in that way which Thou hast ordained, or that which Thou hast lined out with blood. Lord, it is a way wherein Thy people may know much sorrow, because it is said that here ye shall have sorrow. But Lord, it is a way wherein we may hope, have that hope that Thou wilt come and make Thyself known from time to time. Encourage us in the afflictions and the temptations and the persecutions, if we know anything of that, and the troubles that we may pass through, the waters that may seem to overflow us, and the rivers that may seem to rise up, and such that would wash us away, all our hope, may be dashed upon the rocks, may be our fear. But Lord, Thou art able to bring us through. And we believe, Lord, Thou hast brought every one of Thy dear people, despite what they may fear, has brought them at last. And those, Lord, that have come to that great and last enemy, death, have proved that it is not a deadly foe, because of the life that they have received through Christ, their dear Redeemer, who broke the bands of death and of the grave, and is risen and ascended up on high, and is led captivity captive, and received gifts for men. Oh, that we might know those gifts, that which Thou dost graciously bestow, of repentance and faith, of love and of a sound mind. Oh, that we might therefore be able to meditate in Thy word, and have clear views of what is written there. But oh, we so often, Lord, find that there is much which seems shut up, much that seems to be withheld. But Lord, we pray for light. the light that may shine upon the page, the light that may give us an understanding of those things that are found in thy word. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon those that are gathered here this day. We would, Lord, desire to bear them each in their particular trials and afflictions, and remember them, O Lord, at thy footstool. And then, O Lord, that there are those that may be seeking, oh, do bid them still to seek on, that they may find, and that they may come at last into that liberty of the gospel. There may be those, O Lord, that are walking the path of darkness, feeling to have no light, and yet they obey thy voice, desiring to hear thy voice, and to walk according to the word that thou dost speak, or that they may hold on their way, that they may prove, O Lord, that though theirs is darkness, yet thou, O Lord, dwellest in that darkness to bring them into the light in thy appointed time. So, Lord, we pray that they may trust in thee and wait upon thee, wait for thine appearing, knowing that the vision is for an appointed time, though it tarry yet to wait for it. We would, Lord, desire to bear before thee the young, the rising race, those that were with us this afternoon but not here this evening because of their needs. Lord, we would pray that thou would keep them in this evil, wicked, deceitful world from the snares of it, and to do put thy fear in their hearts at an early age. Oh, that they, Lord, may therefore often say, that did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Not that they should boast of it, but humbly acknowledge it. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercy unto the congregations that are here represented, and were this afternoon. We do pray that thou wilt bless each in their varied situations, and the people that gather from time to time. We would, Lord, desire to answer to all their needs. Thou knowest, Lord, the needs, whether they be spiritual, providential, that of a temporal need, which we find with their little causes of truth, that are those considerations with regard to building and the varying expenses that there are. We look to thee that thou wilt provide in these things. Oh, that thou mayest, Lord, therefore constrain hearts, even to give out of their bounty, and also that if they have received anything of thee, it may touch their heart and also their pocket, so that they may have a concern for the Lord's house and for his people. We do, Lord, also desire thy blessing upon thy servants. We will commend them each unto thee. We will particularly pray for the one in our midst who will be ministering here in this pulpit tomorrow. And Lord, it is thy day. Oh, do grant him that door of utterance, loose his tongue, and may there be the hearing ear, the open heart to receive, So, Lord, may the blessings be known. Lord, we do pray that there would also be with him in his pastorate, and bless his people too. Make him a blessing to them and they to him. We would also, Lord, desire to remember all thy servants and those that may have ministered even this day, and those that have come from the little cause to join us this evening but not with us this afternoon because of the service there. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt richly bless the word already spoken. And now, Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us still. Oh, how dependent we are. Lord, we often prove what the hymn writer said, lose sight of Jesus and his cross, we soon do fall a prey. Lord, we pray that there were therefore set before us the wonders of Christ crucified for a poor unworthy sinner, that we may then be brought to repentance and godly sorrow, and also that we may know that faith and rejoice in that believing. Lord, we pray that we may be favoured with such a faith that will be steadfast and to hold on our way. Oh, we often feel the need of increase of that faith, the strengthening of it. But are encouraged by the fact that those disciples of whom thou didst graciously and kindly chide at times with the tender words, O ye of little faith, yet thou didst not cast them off, but rather encouraged them in their little faith. So, Lord, we would believe. Help thou our unbelief. Now do then be with us. And where we have failed in asking, Lord, do make up in giving. Oh, there are many things for which we could and should ask of thee. But Lord, thou knowest our need and the needs of us collectively, denominationally, and also the solemn situation nationally. How we need thee to arise and scatter the enemies. Oh, do come, Lord, and so do hear us then, now in heaven thy dwelling place. We ask it in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 629. The Lord will feed the poor, nor shall their fare be mean. Rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine, from which rich treasure Christ will feed the hungry soul that feels his need. Hymn 629.
Lord, may be pleased to help me. I'd seek your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 15 and reading the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The Gospel according to John chapter 15 and the 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Our Lord and Saviour comes here to state such a blessed truth. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He chose to be the very vine itself from which the branches may come forth. And each one of those branches that are found in him are his. They were his from all eternity. They were his because he would love them, because he would be to them all that they need, that they may bring forth fruit. If Christ is not to us all that we need, then what fruit can we bring forth? We have to prove our own helplessness in these things. And yet, if there's an abiding in Christ, we will not be helpless. We may feel our weakness, but prove, as the Apostle did, who said, when I am weak, then am I strong. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Where there is that work of grace, then there must be the fruit of that work and of that grace. And if there is that fruit, if there is that fruit, the evidences of it will be seen. You will not be as those that stand still, or as those that are like the stagnant waters, where there is nothing to show that there's any life. You may complain of your deadness, but a dead man knows nothing of what it is to be dead. But he that has life may often have to complain of some lack of strength in a limb, whether it be a small member of the body or a very important part of the body. Some, I speak naturally, may have to cry out and say, my head, as they feel themselves not able to think or to ever give that understanding with regard to the things that are set before them. Some may have to complain of their walk, how they are as the lame man. But the lame man, though he may often seem to falter, yet shall he not prove, as the scripture says, the lame shall take the prey. Well, it is then a true thing, without me ye can do nothing. And yet through him we might do that which is honouring to God. Now it is upon this ground that we are what we are. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And the Lord has chosen us to be as he would have us to be. And he would have us, first of all, to be as living stones. And if we are living stones of the spiritual house, it is because he quickens us. And he has chosen us to that end, that he might quicken us and give us a lively hope. A hope in what? A hope in our own strength? In our own wisdom? No. But I hope in the knowledge of God, a hope in the mercy of God, a hope in the power of God. He that is able to do all things for us, a hope in his grace, his favour. And if we have a hope in those things, it will not just rest, if I can say it reverently, in just a hope. But there will be the enlarging of those things, or the increase of that our hope may come to realization, and that we shall then be able to declare what the Lord has done for us, what he has done in us, and what he has done through, yes, even through us. Once we proved ourselves utterly unresponsive to those things, but if he has quickened you and made you alive, then will you still remain as a dead fish? Well, what will be the evidence of a live one? A live fish, as I think it was a saying of William Tiptaff, goes against the stream, against the tide. The dead one goes with it. And if we go with the stream of this world, then we are dead. And a solemn consideration of James, who says, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And every branch that beareth not fruit shall be cut down, cut off, cast into the fire, and burnt. But that will not be with the chosen of Christ. No, he has chosen them that they may be a part of the body or the building, whatever analogy you may wish to use, to keep to the building a living stone. But the scripture speaks of a lively stone, a lively stone. And it is the Spirit of God that will make us lively. But has he not chosen us to be lively stones? Oh, we may have to mourn our backwardness. But let us not be satisfied with backwardness. That's no mark of grace. What we need is that grace to run in the race. And there's much encouragement in the scripture in this running. The apostle speaks of the prize, of the high calling of God. And therefore we shall run. So run, says the apostle, that ye might obtain. We, whilst in this race, have to also say, not as having attained, neither are already perfect, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. As a lively stone. And we are exhorted by our Lord and Saviour, who has chosen everyone, that he would so draw with his everlasting love, and then work love in our hearts. You say, ah, my love is cold and faint. Yes, from what we ought to be, in consideration of the great love wherewith he loved us. What he has done for us, he gave his life, he laid it down. He shed his blood. He was afflicted. And he suffered in all their afflictions. He was afflicted. And as it was when he led the children of Israel, or commanded Moses to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness, in their afflictions he bore with them. And he was afflicted in all their afflictions. But our afflictions are its sole trouble. Our afflictions is having to grapple with an adversary, a tempter, who would tempt us to such a degree that if he could make us fall, and we are weak in that, we may fall, but where is the strength of our faith? What will be the cry that will go forth when it seems as though the enemy has got the better of us? Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Oh, what a grace faith is. Here we see a lively faith that rises from a poor cast down soul, cast to the ground. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I am down, I shall arise. I shall arise because he is risen. He rose that I might rise from this state. Though mine enemy may seem to have cast me down into this situation, but he has no power. Oh, faith sees he has no power. No power to keep us. Therefore, what can we say with regard to this race that we run in? We know that often those that may fall in the race, they lose time, so to speak. And they may not then come those that are going to be awarded the prize. But we find that that is not so in this race. Because the race is run, if I can put it that way, by our Lord and Saviour. He has obtained the glory for his people. Because so, then we may so run. But we run as such that can only do so by looking unto Jesus. Now, what does it say then in the scripture? Wherefore, seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Is he the author of your faith? Then where is the evidence of it? Where is he walking out? So that faith may evidence its fruits or its works. Are you a follower of Christ Jesus? Well, let me ask you another question. Has there ever been any enlargement in your soul? Have you felt his drawings? Have you heard his voice? Have you seen his works appear? Has he provided you for you in the day of your trouble? Has he subdued the adversary so that he is not able to get the better after all, though you feared it? Has he spoken to the storm and said, "Peace, be still"? Has he brought then that consolation? Cast not away therefore your confidence, for was it not a confidence when he speaks, when he shines, when he reveals himself? Then it will give confidence to the poor, helpless soul. Here they receive their strength. Here they can say, "The Lord is my strength and my deliverer." And so, in such a case, there is the running and the obtaining and the behaving and the being able to say, "I will run in the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart." And have you cast away the very thought, the very moment when the Lord granted a little enlargement? We need to be very careful, you know, what we say and how we react in these things. I know we have a carnal heart. I know we have our old nature. But we cannot make excuses, you know. We cannot make excuses. But I've heard it said, well, it was only a word. But if it's the word of God to your soul, will you be deaf to it? Well, the word here, I bring you back to the text, is this: ye have not chosen me. And if it had been left to us, then doubtless we would continue in such a state. But I have chosen you for what purpose? I've chosen you and ordained you. Let me bring that in also. He has ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. That ye should go and bring forth fruit. Is there the fruits of humility? You know, you won't take that step in following him in boastfulness. there are those that would boast of of all that they do for Christ. We know that. But our boastfulness must be ever in what the Lord has done. And therefore, where is boasting? Where's boasting of self? But you cannot speak enough, we should not speak enough of what Christ has done. Oh, we come short. I feel that we live in a day in which there is much coldness and indifference, and it is in my own heart. Oh, those drawings of love. How we would desire it and prize it. That he would come and put strength into us, that we might so run. But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Humbled under the mighty hand of God, seek now to walk in those ways, the ways which he has given us an example. He washed the disciples' feet. We know it was a literal thing that he did, but everything that Christ did also had a spiritual meaning. The feet, you know, is what will enable us to walk. Without feet, we would find it very difficult to walk. The feet may walk a dusty road, and therefore, if he has washed our feet, what then will the dust have upon us? We know sin doth easily beset us, but if we are found as those that walk in his steps, then your walk will be of a sanctified kind. Men, they walk in their own way. They walk by their own spirit, according to their own lusts, according to their own pleasure. You once walked in that way, and you know that you still have a heart that would also go in those things, but I washed thy feet. Yes, and he that is washed, whose feet he washes, is clean every whit. Peter had a lesson to learn, didn't he? Ah, such a lesson. He could not keep himself. He would soon be there saying, I know not the man. But what had washed Peter's feet? Was it not the love of his master? The love of his master. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. The Lord knew what Peter would do. He told him before he even entered into that temptation to which poor Peter succumbed. He said, Satan hath desired to have thee to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Yes, that Peter might be kept. That is, kept in his love. Kept in his love. So that the time would come when our Lord had done all things, broken the bands of death and of the grave, and now risen, appearing unto those disciples, the 11 and others too, those godly women. But on this occasion he appeared there at the seaside. And we know that Peter had said, I go a-fishing. And those with him also consented and went. And they caught nothing. They caught nothing. I must not divert, because just to settle upon that particular narrative would detract from what I'm going to or want to just mention. Yes, they caught nothing, that they would know their nothingness and inability. They soon were to know his power, and that their nets would be full to breaking point. But then the Lord turned to Peter and he said, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Then... you see, Peter was made willing to go in the way that his Lord would have him to go. Not that perhaps Peter needed to have the same drastic means used now as Jonah did, who rebelled and went contrary to the way that the Lord had commanded him. Go to Nineveh. No, I'll go down to Joppa and get a ship to Tarshish. He soon found what it was to be in the fish's belly. And out of the belly of hell, cried I. Peter had been there in a sense that, having denied his Lord, but he was brought to deep repentance. And now he could say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should bring forth fruit, that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, it may be with each one particularly, there are some things that the Lord would have us to do and be in the church. Some a doorkeeper, but go and bring forth fruit. The quiet, consistent, continuing in it will have its reward, I believe. It may be seemingly the lowest or the least esteemed of anything that you may be asked to do. And I'm not just speaking now in a literal sense, but, you know, a doorkeeper. That's not where the flesh would want to be. It's not where we would find the spirit of pride wishing us to be. But the Lord has also ordained those who should go forth and bring much fruit through the word of the ministry. And if he has so said, go, then there is much that will bring a poor man down, bring him to nothing, so that he might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those that may enter into the pulpit and think that they can excel in their ministry, convert the congregation maybe, and fill the place. The Lord has his work. The Lord has his work. He will work. And sometimes the poor mouthpiece will have to give glory to God to think that such has ever been used in the case of those poor sinners who have been made to know themselves and feel themselves as poor. And they've heard the word that's come from also a poor man's lips. But such a word here, it may incorporate and gather in these varying things that that the Lord has purposed for us. And it's not just the ministry, being a deacon or any place. A mother in Israel, do they get commended? The fruit of their prayers, well exercised in prayer, as they may perhaps bear one and another silently. Mothers in Israel, they may be very observant, and they detect that there is one here or one there, that there is a burden with their soul. They pray for their deliverance. Well, so it may be. But I have ordained you. I've chosen you, ordained you, that ye shall bring forth fruit. Should go and bring forth fruit. But there is the fruits that need to be walked out. Trials come, you know, to prove us. There will be the fruit of patience discovered in the time of our troubles. How will we be? Shall we be like the worldling? Shall we complain? Shall we charge God? Or shall we be able to say, That this is of the Lord? We see how it was with Job when Satan was permitted of God to take from Job all that he possessed, his sons and daughters, that they should be slain. And what did Job say? The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, that is the grace. And it was the grace of patience begun in Job. Job did not know what was now before him, those many days when he would sit and when he would suffer those boils and those lanes that came upon him. And then the remarks of his friends. Ah, doubtless they may have wished to be friends, but unless a word is spoken in the wisdom of God, it can have a counter effect. And it did with Job. They did not really understand what God's purpose was with regard to Job, nor did they understand Job's reactions under that which Job was bearing. They misjudged. And we may misjudge, but God doesn't. God knows what he's doing. He may ordain the trial, but it is that it may be patience shall have its perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. And this is the fruit that is now worked out, and you will come to that point where you can say, the hymn writer that gathers it up, if I remember rightly, in a very beautiful way. He says, he that has made my heaven secure. There may be things that he suffers here below. Losses, crosses. But he that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? Well, what can you want? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You see, the fruit that is spirit wrought, it must remain. It remains in this sense, that he who has observed and seen his child and the effects of that which he has had to bear, so that it has wrought patience and faith and love and hope, as he views it, so he can rejoice over you. These are the fruits that he wishes to see. He loves to see them. He loves to see that repentance that we spoke of this afternoon. Daily I'd repent of sin. And daily be brought to that cross. And if our sufferings are great, then what were his? That, my dear friends, will put everything in its right perspective. If you're a child of God, and it will bring forth a fruit. It'll be a fruit that will bow to the mercy of God. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, the mercy of God in that He bore what you and I could not bear. The punishment for our sin. But, what sustaining help we receive through Him, in that He bore those things and then helps us to bear those things that may be laid upon us, those trials, those afflictions, those sorrows, all the things which are to work this end, that ye may bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. You see, when gold is put in the fire, it loses nothing. What is lost is the dross, but the gold loses nothing. That which is there born in the rock will only lose that which is not gold. So it is with faith. So it is with every grace that the Lord bestows upon us. And these graces is that we might bring forth that fruit and that it may remain. And these things that prove its reality. These trials, these troubles, they prove the reality. It's sometimes said that troubles often draw a couple, say a married couple, husband and wife, their troubles draw them together. We know it's not always so. Troubles with man can often divide. And so the enemy of our soul would have it so. But in the purposes of God, our troubles will draw us closer to Him. As He so works it. And that will then we will find that we bring forth fruit. That our fruit would remain. He that has loved us with an everlasting love will also beget love in us. And it is proved what our love is when he may allow Satan to do all he can to drive us from him. But it rather drives us to him. It's like the fable where the man or the two men, they had their coats on, and the sun and the wind were talking and saying that they would be able to remove the coat of the man. And so the wind was first allowed to do what he could. And the more he blew, the more the man wrapped the coat to himself. But when the sun had its turn, it beamed forth with all its warmth. Soon the man took his coat off. That is what the effect of love will do, to put off the old man, that we may be renewed. It's often through those things. When he shows forth his love, then what are those things which otherwise we may not have been able to put off? Well, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. If there is a remaining of the fruit, then there must be the walking out of it. Whatever men may say they are, if they are not what they are not what they are seen to be, then what is their fruit? Shall we look at a tree and say a fruitful tree when there's no fruit on it, but only leaf? Christ cursed the fig tree because it bore no fruit. Ah, beware, dear friends, lest you should despise what God has done. If he has done anything for your poor needy soul, then it is with this that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain. And where the Lord works his sanctifying work, then be sure that the work will remain. Yes, that will continue. Continue ye in my love. You see? Except ye abide in the vine, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye, ye cannot bring forth fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. But I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. See the context of this word. For without me ye can do nothing. It's easy to take it out of its context. But put it in its context, and you see, it's not a complacency. It's not fatalism. It is realizing our utter dependence upon him and our desire. Shall I put it this way? A desire for a closer walk with God. Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Then, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This part of the text has not particularly rested upon my spirit, but I will just conclude with a few thoughts upon it. That whatsoever ye shall ask, what shall we ask? More grace? He giveth more grace. increase of faith, then he will speak of that faith, though it be as a grain of mustard seed, though it seems to be so insignificant. Yet, what shall your faith become? It will grasp in all that God is. Because faith itself is a gift of God. Our minds cannot grasp all that God is. Not our poor, puny, finite minds, no. But faith. Faith believes it. Faith expects it. And faith will therefore know that what he has promised shall come to pass. O ye of little faith, but now we may know the increase of faith. Whatsoever you shall ask. And what shall we ask? Shall we ask for strength? I will put strength into you. Oh, often we are weak, but Christ is strong. Yes, the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's stronger than devils. When our Lord and Saviour suffered, the strength that was seen in his death, in all apparent weakness, but he broke the bands of death. In his cry, it is finished. Death from that point could not hold him. It was ordained the third day that he should rise again. Already it had been spoken. Our Lord had spoken it many times to his disciples when he said that he would be crucified and rise again. The two cannot be separated, not as they are in Christ. And neither can they be separated as in the believer. For though we may die, yet the day of resurrection for the believer is certain. And shall we ask that when we come to that day, that he shall make us ready, that he will prepare us? Oh, we sometimes sing, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And yes, when we come down to our dying day, our preparation will be his work. Our preparation will be that which brings us with desire and longing, and it, we may say even with joy, in sweet anticipation, and a belief that I shall, as the psalmist says, I shall awake in thy likeness. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you, and give it you out of that fullness of what he has ordained for you. And what has he ordained? That ye shall bring forth fruit. Fruit brought about through his grace, and he will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So that ye, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And if we should ask of him for those things that we feel to lack, then shall he not give them? If we lack in wisdom, if we feel to lack in grace, if we feel to lack in faith, in patience, in love, well, from him there comes a rich supply. And though without me you can do nothing, yet through Christ I can do all things. Amen.
The collections today are for Oakington Chapel Building Fund. Let us close with hymn 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake and fear when they before him must appear. Hymn 666.
on, O Lord, with thy blessing. Take us each in peace and safety to our homes. Prepare us now for the Sabbath day. May we feel the blessing of the rest that there is in Christ, a rest for the people of God, that our souls may find a rest and a comfort in the blessings of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless each of thy servants as they may labour, and may they feel their labour is not in vain in the Lord. So do hear us now, pardon us of every sin. We ask it for Christ's sake, and may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.